Your Tunes.
Joining us now are Coaster and Ashley, the developers of Flicktype.
Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having us.
No, thanks for coming on. It's great to have you on.
It is, yeah.
We're really excited to be here.
Thank you.
So,
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
No, don't matter. You go. Thank God we can edit this.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, can you give us a bit of a kind of intro to Flicktype, you know, like a bit about what it is and how it all works and stuff?
Sure. So, Flicktype, the way I like to describe it is that it is the fastest keyboard app available for blind and low vision users on iOS. So, the way it works is it uses the familiar QWERTY layout of the standard keyboard, and then it adds three additional very simple flick gestures to perform some of the most common things that you do when typing, and thus creates a really, really powerful and fluid typing experience. There are no control keys like space or delete or shift to kind of like get in your way or hunt for, but instead, when you flick right, you can enter a space, you delete by flicking left, and then you can change the suggestion of flick type if it happened to be the wrong one by just flicking down. So just these three gestures are enough for you to compose a long piece of text like really, really fast.
I was going to say, because I noticed that there wasn't a space bar, and I was like, how did that even work? But then,
yeah. you were quite intrigued.
I was shocked. I saw it on Twitter, and it was like, there's no space bar, how the hell do you do this?
I remember telling you about it, and you was like, what the hell do you mean, there's no space bar? What's going
on? You're there saying, oh yeah, you can type really quickly with it. I'm like, so what you have to do is you have to type really quickly, grab the text, and then put the spaces in afterwards. But it's like, no, you flick on it. It's like, oh, okay, cool. That makes sense, though, because it just clears up so much space.
Yeah, we've always felt that the sort of control keys, as we like to call them, are quite distinct from the keys that are there to actually press and input the letters. So what if we could just go without those keys and just replace those with the simplest of gestures that we could imagine? And this is what ended up being Flicktype. And, of course, at the core of it is a really, really powerful algorithm to recognize what word you meant to type, because you actually don't get feedback as you're typing its letter. You're not supposed to. The idea being that you can be very inaccurate. Just roughly touch the screen really lightly, momentarily, where you think the right keys would be on the keyboard, and then Flicktype will do the rest.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Admit,
yeah.
I must admit, the first time when I got the first beta version. In fact, I think I did this way back when Flexi came out. I literally just was messing around typing as inaccurate as I could. And it was still the first or second time. It was unbelievable.
Nice.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting how many of the characters are actually the incorrect characters. It's way more of the incorrect characters than the correct characters. And Flicktype is so powerful, it just gets it right.
Yeah, this is particularly the case with longer words, too. So sometimes with a shorter word, like, say, in or on, these are actually admittedly too close together on the keyboard. So the thing is, though, even if it gets that wrong, then you just flick down
and hopefully
the next one is what you wanted.
Wow.
Did you guys develop the predictive text engine with it as well?
Yes. It's all custom-made from the ground up. The idea being that we've rethought what typing would be as an experience if it was developed for the touchscreen from the get-go, rather than take what have been existing technologies used in, you know, hardware mechanical keyboards and then just adapt those with like spell checking and the like onto the touchscreen. We wanted to create something that was really new, but at the same time make sure that it's familiar enough so that it would not alienate most people and it would have a very, very easy learning curve. We see that people within like 2-3 minutes usually are able to start typing words, and within a few minutes they're typing even faster than whatever method they used before.
I'm going to say, because that's been a massive issue for me, typing. Because, Carl, do you use the touch type thing on the...
Yeah,
because I never got it. And I used to just get Bluetooth keyboard after Bluetooth keyboard and just try and do it that way, which worked. But then he's just pulling his phone out, rattling off a message and hitting send. He's like, are you doing that? He's like, oh yeah, Plexi. He's like, oh, okay. Fair enough.
Or of course there's that, or there's dictation. But that gets you somewhere.
That's always fun.
Especially with our accent. That gets some very interesting.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
Yeah, with the Northern accent. Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that because I did study in England for 3 years. I do recall, and to this day still, that for me personally, dictation has a lot of trouble because I have some kind of like Greek, British accent in there. But I do think that for a lot of people, dictation is very, very useful, and there's always a place and time for it. But even for people that don't have a strong accent, there's often the case of like privacy concerns, or you just don't want to be making noises and, speaking aloud to your device. So we think FlickType complements dictation really, really nicely, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I hate dictating in public.
I do. I had an incident when I was at school today, and I was doing it, and it was just like, everyone could hear me, and then it turned out a teacher walking back in an assembly on downstairs, and I'm just there going, I can call in 2 hours, ridiculously loud, so I get it.
Yeah.
You're telling the camera going on downstairs, and you're like, great.
The other option as well is Braille screen input, and I don't know about you, but I cannot get the hang of that for the life of me.
No, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. It's pretty interesting because we have heard from quite a few people, there seems to be a love-hate relationship with Braille screen input. I do think that it's a very welcome addition to the iOS system that was done, I think, a few years back. But I think one of the things is that you need to know how to use it. It has kind of a steep learning curve. So there's all these like, combinations of how you need to use your fingers to enter characters or contractions if you get more advanced. But we're really hoping to create a typing system that doesn't require you to learn something new. But what I really like about Braille screen input is the set of gestures, which actually feel like, Flexi being a precursor to that and a precursor to FlickType, it does feel like Braille screen input kind of like utilizes a lot of the same gestures as Flexi did.
I was going to say, Flexi. Yeah, and people are going about people ripping off Apple, and then there's this.
Well, I think it's the best form of flattery if anyone copied anyone else, but and I don't know that this is the case here. I just think that the gestures are really, really simple and almost, just come naturally when you think about it. So, it's like flick left to delete is kind of where the cursor moves towards when you delete things. Right for space, again, that's where the cursor moves. And down seems like an obvious choice for a next suggestion, if you want.
Yeah,
that makes sense, yeah.
So,
why did you decide to target visually impaired users in particular?
So that's a great question, and it goes back to the beginnings of Flexi, our previous app. So it was right around when the iPhone had come out, and it did become apparent that more and more devices would be just this kind of flat touchscreen without hardware keys. So it made typing really, really hard for everyone, not just visually impaired people. And I remember myself being frustrated, and just as I was typing, I would feel like, as an engineer as well, I would feel like there must be a better way for this. And I thought to myself, how do I create something better, but not something that's just incrementally better, but rather something that like takes it to the next level. And I thought to myself, one of the biggest problems here is just having to concentrate. And me as a user that can see like visually are concentrating and worrying too much about hitting the right key. So I thought to myself, what if I set the bar so high that you could use this without even looking at the screen? As I was thinking more about this problem, I realized that, this would make perfect sense. It would be the absolutely best system for people who are also unable to see, either somewhat or at all. And that's kind of how Flexi was born. And, there's a little bit of a story there, and eventually some parts were open sourced by Flexi, and we can talk more about that. And this is kind of like the beginnings of FlickType, but we aim to do much more this time around, and there's many things that are different, and we'd love to talk about that as well.
I mean, it's really good. I mean, for us, a lot of people, we get in touch. Well, I'm quite a technical person, so if something's not accessible, I'm the one who's more into the developers. This doesn't work. Most of them.
I will as well. I mean, you can code, I can't, but I'm still the one that's moaning about I mean, I went to the Apple store recently and learned about voiceover issues and they didn't have a clue what I was on about, so...
Yeah, you say I can code, but I still couldn't develop something as impressive as this.
True. no comment.
But a lot of developers don't even know what voiceover is, let alone, you know, how you interact with it. And
yeah,
Did you guys already know about voiceover? Are you visually impaired yourselves? Or?
No. So my father is. He's lost vision from one eye, and his vision is rapidly deteriorating. And you know, it's possible that I will lose some of my vision as well as I get older. But I can see quite well right now. The funny thing about voiceover is that when I built the initial prototype for the app, it actually did not work with voiceover. You literally had to turn voiceover off for it to work.
I remember that.
And that
I
don't know if you guys remember that. And that was because with voiceover, your taps and gestures are kind of like dictated by what voiceover wants to do with them. So there wasn't such notion of like just slightly tap very quickly on the screen somewhere and just carry on. Like there would always be the voiceover cursor that would focus on the element and announce it to you so you know where you are. So it kind of conflicted with the whole idea of, hey, we don't need you to know and worry about what letter you press. So you had to turn it off. And then eventually with the iOS release and update, you were able as a developer to say, hey, for my app, for this particular region of the screen, I do not want voiceover to kind of interfere. And rather I want the touch gestures to just be consumed as if voiceover was off. So
it's the direct now, touch thing, isn't it?
Yes, that's the direct touch thing. Now, to your earlier point about, you know, whether many developers know about it or not, I don't think many developers need to know necessarily almost anything about voiceover, in many cases actually anything about voiceover, to make sure that their apps are accessible. Because Apple has gone to great lengths to incorporate this layer that just is always there and always present, and will voiceover as a system, when enabled, will utilize like the titles of buttons that you have on your app and things like that to pronounce them and announce them and make it usable for people that are visually impaired. For some more complicated apps and for some use cases, if you really want to absolutely ensure the best experience for visually impaired people, you do have to use VoiceOver with your app and just kind of get a feel for how it works or how it doesn't sometimes. So there's very, very, very little work, again, if any, sometimes in order to make apps accessible. But then what we've created is quite different in that we didn't want to make an app and then also make sure it's accessible. We wanted to just literally start from the ground up and make typing itself more accessible than before. So it was a little bit more fundamental than just adding a layer of accessibility in an app.
Yeah. Nice. So on the subject of accessibility, can you tell us a little bit of why Lexi kind of went downhill?
Yes, certainly. This is a question that we've gotten quite a few times, and it's very, very reasonable. We do want to explain here what happened, and I think the core of the issue is the fact that eventually we just spread ourselves too thinly, and we try to expand our market reach just too fast. And what I mean by that is, initially when we launched the product and it was only available and targeted for blind and visually impaired users, the revenues that we were generating were just like almost like non-material. Like they were not enough to sustain this as a project and as a company. And at the same time, like I mentioned earlier, I always thought that this is a way to make typing easier for everyone, regardless of their ability to see or not. So as we started by being self-funded, eventually we did seek to get external capital from investors. And what turned out to be the case is that we basically could not get capital from investors if we were only targeting the blind and visually impaired market, because admittedly that in terms of volume is a smaller market than the rest of the market.
For of course.
So in a way we, you know, and it's really my decision. I don't mean to be that an excuse. As a CEO and founder, I ultimately bear the responsibility, but I did decide that, hey, it feels like an obvious thing to do here. This should also apply to sighted people as well. Let's target everyone and build this up as a company and get this funding. And with that came a lot of commitment. Like, once we did that, we couldn't just go back and be like, hey, you know, we changed our mind. We rather want to just stick to blind and visually impaired users. So what that meant eventually was that the experience for all users, sighted or not, became very subpar. Like almost every part of the kind of spectrum of sight was disappointed in some way or another. You know, I can go into a lot of details about the issues that sighted people had with our keyboard. But I think the main gist of it is that we just try to do too many things at the same time. So this is really what is different this time around. And as kind of part of the beginning of this, we want to the least we can do is bring back what was the unfortunately named FlexiVO app back then, and make sure that's available in the store, kind of refresh it and bring it up to speed, and have it be available for free for everyone to just use it as much as they want, whether it's just for, you know, trying it out and seeing what it's like, or just use it as a daily tool that we see a lot of people do already. We want that to be out there. But this time around, we do want to make this a very sustainable project and extend it much further. So we are fully committed to only targeting blind and visually impaired users. We are self-funded, and we have no plans of getting any outside external funding, so we can really maintain our ideas and vision for the future. And the biggest development that's in the works is actually bringing this kind of fluid full-screen typing experience inside every app. So I don't know if you remember, but Flexi, even when it became a third-party keyboard, was never this kind of same full screen experience inside every app. Already, due to the kind of pressure to cater to sighted users as well, the keyboard, like one of the biggest differences was that immediately the keyboard was switched to not be full screen. And that already poses some problems and has big differences. So there's a lot of things that we're going to do different and even rethink some of the fundamentals, but we're super excited about this. And we've learned a lot from our previous mistakes, as well as about what things worked, and we could not be more excited to bring this to you again.
That's brilliant. So
I mean, I appreciate, you know, the honesty behind it, really.
Yeah, same.
I think a lot of people will as well, because
put it on the App Store right now, due to Carver.
So FlickType is on the App Store right now, yeah. We just launched, actually, so we encourage everyone to go and get it. It's free. Just try it out. Let us know what you think, you know. Leave a review for us to really let us know and other people, like, you know, what do you think about it. And it still is, though, I should clarify once more, that it's still a standalone app. So the new keyboard that's going to work inside every app is actually in the works right now. And if you want to be one of the first to try it out, you can join our beta. So if you go to flicktype.com, that's FLICKTYPE.com, there's a link for how to join the beta. And we'd love to have you on board. We'd love to have as many beta testers as possible. And that's where you're going to get the new keyboard extension first.
So the new system-wide keyboard, you know, you mentioned, obviously, one of the difficulties is on the system-wide keyboard, you can't really have it full screen.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, how would that work? I mean, one thing that I remember is when I tried Flexi, when that became a system-wide keyboard, I know that's a completely different situation. But one thing that I remember is, because of the accessibility problem, I actually got stuck in the Flexi keyboard. I just couldn't get out of it. The only way I could get out of the keyboard was to uninstall it. It was very confusing.
Sorry about that. But that actually is a great point, because to clarify what I meant earlier is that this time around the keyboard is going to be full screen. So you, at least these days with the new APIs by Apple and things being more robust, there is the ability to have a full screen keyboard. And in fact, this is a little bit similar to Braille screen input that effectively becomes a full screen keyboard, right? For those who have used it.
Yeah.
So the idea here, and one of the most important points, is to make dismissing the keyboard as easy as possible. So you're gonna see that we have a couple of different gestures to dismiss the keyboard and bring on the menu in the standalone app. And we're actually right now experimenting with a couple of those. The one that becomes the most adopted one, and users tell us that they prefer, is going to be the gesture that also dismisses the keyboard when it's a third-party keyboard inside every app. So by doing that, you will always be able to go back and say, you know, read more on the thread of messages that you're responding to or something like that. I should also note here that for more simple things like, and common things like reading the entire text that you have typed so far in the text field or moving the cursor, which is also coming, by the way, you will not need to dismiss the keyboard. You'll be able to do all that directly from the full screen keyboard. So just for the cases where you really want to kind of pause your typing and maybe read something else and interact with the rest of the app and then resume your typing, we're going to make that as easy as possible. You dismiss the keyboard with a gesture that eventually is going to be the main gesture. I don't want to necessarily explicitly say which one it is now. And then you can resume your typing just regularly by double tapping on the text field.
Okay, cool.
Sounds great. I'm actually on the beta thing as well, so I'm looking forward to testing that.
Awesome, yeah.
Actually, you're like one of our first testers, if I remember correctly.
That is correct, yeah. Yeah.
First or second, actually.
Well, I remember seeing the post on AppleViz that you were planning on bringing the app back. I woke up one morning, logged into Twitter, and I saw it. And the first comment that you had, as soon as you put the post out, I thought, oh, everyone's going to want this. But the first comment you had said, it's not needed anymore because of Braille screen input. And I was like, no, it is needed.
I don't even use it. I didn't know it existed until, I'd say, less than a year ago. And I still don't use it because I don't understand what the heck it is. So
I don't understand. I've been a Braillist for 15 years now. And it's nothing like a Perkins keyboard.
Yeah. I've been a Braillist for about 10 years. 11 years, and yeah, I don't know what it is, I don't understand it. I've tried, but I don't understand it.
So no,
you know, this is very useful. Sorry, go ahead.
I was looking at the comments on AppleViz, and a lot of people were saying, oh, no, it's not needed anymore. So I just pitched in, I was like, it is needed, I'll test it.
Thank you. you know, this is very good feedback for us, what you guys are saying, as well as the comments on AppleViz. I do remember that when we were looking at a few months back at the kind of text input landscape for blind and visually impaired people on iOS, that even though there's been some changes, and maybe the biggest highlight is the Braille screen input addition, it did feel to us that there's still a lot left to be desired. But we definitely appreciate all the feedback, and we love to hear it, good or bad, whether it's for our product or for why, you know, another product or typing method is better, because we really want to make this the best tool that we can make it for the community. So it's the feedback is a very critical part of this process.
Brilliant, yeah.
So with going back to Flexi a minute, what made you eventually decide to, you know, bring it back?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so we started kind of looking online, and we always imagined that when we open sourced it about 2 years ago, someone would pick it up, you know, compile it and put it on the App Store. And so we noticed nobody had done that. And Costa and I had just finished a couple other projects. Costa was at Pinterest after Flexi was acquired by them, and I was in law school. So we were both busy, and then we noticed that. And then we noticed on Twitter and elsewhere online that people were asking about it, and people were really interested. So then we looked up, you know, Apple's input methods and that sort of thing, and we noticed, wait, there's still room here. There's still room to innovate and really bring something that helps a lot of people. And so that's kind of why we came back to it. It was kind of an unfinished business situation.
Yeah, good. Because it is really like the Flexi VO app. No.
Yes,
I didn't get a chance to use Flexi.
It is very much like that, because we are starting from what was open sourced a while back on my request Flexi as a company did open source what was FlexiVO back then. So that's where we're starting from.
So they open sourced the entire app, did they?
The VO components of it. So what is now taken over by another European keyboard company, the other Flexi app, is completely separate, completely different than this component of the app.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember all the controversy behind FlexiVO. I was fine with it personally. I was glad that it was still out there, but some blind people, not so much.
No, you get them like that.
And that was kind of the outside, being able to see the internal conflict. You know, once investors came on board, and Costa and I really wanted to still have a typing component for the visually impaired community. That was our, you know, ditch effort of trying to get something out there that could work for the two groups, with still ensuring that everyone internally is happy.
Yeah, and I do have to say that, you know, some of the negative feedback around FlexiVO didn't really help get more mindshare within the company and support in terms of building this out more and maintaining it. But I definitely do understand the sentiment of quite a few people, like even something including the name, as well as the fact that it was split off from the other app. You know, I think it was a bad signal, both for our users as well as other developers. Like, I personally regret kind of signaling to other developers that, hey, you should have one version of your app and then another one for low vision and blind folks. I wish I could have taken that back, but at the time, it felt like, given the limited amount of resources and the sort of lack of focus due to our very broad commitment at that point, it was the best solution to make sure that that just remained there available for those who needed to use it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So aside from making it a full system keyboard, have you got any other plans for the future regarding FlipType?
Sorry?
Have you got any plans for the future besides somewhat?
So I mentioned earlier that with the system-wide keyboard, so actually something I didn't say is that we are building this from scratch. So the old code base is pretty old. With that comes it, you know, it's not as easy to maintain and work on. There's been quite a few people that have worked on it before. So we're looking to make a fresh start from even a technical point of view, if you want. And with that comes the opportunity to even rethink some of the most fundamental things about including the gestures, how you enter like symbols and advanced punctuation. We want to add things like, you know, emoji is something that quite a few users have requested. There's a lot of new things that we want to do that, again, solely focused on blind and low vision users. But we think this is a great opportunity. And with the beta group especially, you know, it looks like we're going to hit about 1,000 beta users soon. This is incredibly useful for us because it's those users that really help shape the product, be the tool that they needed to be. So we're not always going to just jump on, you know, the first request for something, because we do have to prioritize some things. But this kind of feedback loop is absolutely essential.
Okay, brilliant. And what about releasing an app to other platforms? Like, are you releasing an Android app or?
Sorry, we lost you. Sorry, there. I think the Skype
you
connection.
You just cut out a bit.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for an Android app?
Oh, that's a great question. We got that a few times already. What I would say, you know, to be completely honest here, we are two people here, just me and my wife Ashley. It's a personal effort. I am the only engineer here, so it's going to be pretty hard to do that anytime soon. Like, we'd love to do that. I do think that Android is a little behind still in terms of accessibility when compared to iOS, so that could pose additional technical challenges on top of the fact that there's just so many versions of Android and software and hardware devices. So I don't want to promise anything. Like, we'd love to do it, but at this point we don't have a plan for it.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm glad it's not just me who sees Android is a little bit behind.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah.
It's come a long way the last few years. That was a pleasant surprise when I was looking at that. But still, it seems like Apple is pushing the envelope kind of faster than...
Yeah, definitely.
I suppose from a technical point of view, no matter what iOS version you use, apart from a few minor difficulties, say you've got an iPhone X, an iPhone 7, and an iPhone 5, I suppose they'll all still run the same code, whereas with Android, there's
exactly.
so many different sort of versions of it.
Exactly.
Marshmallow and God knows what.
Ice cream and sandwich, like, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, even hardware kind of sizes and whether they have some hardware buttons or not, it depends on the devices, which makes it really, really hard for us to be testing, you know, and really knowing what it is that users are experiencing out there. Whereas with iPhones, sure, we need to have a few devices around, but having 4 or 5 devices just captures basically 80 or 90% of what most users are experiencing out there, and we can experience that ourselves firsthand.
I'm going to say that because with the iPhone, you've got pretty much the same number of hardware keys as well, so I guess that's easier to work with. Whereas Android,
exactly.
you can have no end of them, basically.
Exactly. The only exception being the iPhone X, which has given us a little bit of a headache, but looks like we sorted it out now.
Now that we got our own, at first we didn't have one, so we were using a simulator, and it was just not getting us anywhere. So now that we have an iPhone X, we're much better.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a good thing getting an iPhone 10, isn't it?
Yeah. we should totally try that and just
Yeah, we're developing this app. Can we have a brand new iPhone 10, please?
Yeah, and we're blind as well.
But at least internally, we're able to justify it.
Yeah, to ourselves.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had to confuse things, didn't they, to get rid of the home button?
That's weird.
You know,
the power button, I've seen an iPhone 10. Jesse's family have all got iPhone 10, and the power button does like 5 different things now. It's mad.
I couldn't imagine that.
It's really weird.
I've never used one like properly. I've held one. That's about it.
It's definitely different and sometimes confusing for me even still. Like after weeks of use, I do get slightly confused. But I do think this comes with the territory of kind of like pushing the boundary further and further. Like as fast as you can, and you need it in order to be able to innovate at the pace that Apple does. And I think a lot of their decisions that initially seem quite drastic and received some negative feedback, you know, when you look at them back a year or two later, they seem really justified. And I do think that what they're doing with the iPhone 10 is a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all that we've got, really. I mean,
I suppose
all that's left to say is download it.
Do.
Definitely get it.
It's free. Why not? You know, on the App Store right now.
And anyone who wants to learn more about FlickType, just visit our website, FlickType.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with the same handle name to get the latest updates. And we'll be happy to have you join the beta as well.
There you go. FlickType.com. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.